And you said you had a dictionary with you, and you looked up.
We got a dictionary from somewhere. Oh. We looked up words she didn't know. Uh-huh. Well, that was it, because otherwise, and then she got the rhythm of the poetry and could forget the meaning. Uh-huh. And we did quite a bit.
So she didn't read them. You read them out to her.
No, she'd read them also. I forget how we shared it. Anyway, we went through it, so we got it.
The whole book you went through.
No, no, thank heavens.
It's quite large.
We did, I mean, it took us perhaps some days to get through the Nightingale. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of words in there.
Yeah.
Strange words.
Yeah. But she enjoyed that.
We learned some by heart, because you don't really get the rhythm of poetry unless you do learn it by heart, I feel.
That's interesting.
So, yes, we had it. And that went on for some time. And but that wasn't at Maribet.
Yeah. It was only during that stay. It wasn't later.
No, I can't remember. We had it in the next house, too. But I can't say how many houses we did it in, how far we did.
Then, Baba must have, when you first came to India, sort of explained the situation and given you instructions not to, like, the story that you related in the book about not mentioning a man's name and everything.
God, wasn't that awful? Yeah. Can you imagine? There we were all sitting there anxious to tell them about the West and everything. To tell us about the East. And they managed better than we did, because they hadn't had more practice. And you expect to see a social conversation, which was what Baba wanted, you know, a social life to open between us. There we were sort of saying, oh, yes, the dust was very bad when we came over from Maribad this morning. It came right into the car. Well, we were safe there. You see, there was no man's name mentioned. And until this thing happened with Norina, who couldn't bear it any longer.
It just slipped out.
Well, no, we had to keep our minds on what we were saying. You don't when you're talking. I'm not keeping my mind on what I'm saying to you. You're not really, you're collecting what I say. We had to keep our mind on what we were saying. Was it so easy to say, Donkin was, that was Donkin's fault, you see? And so then poor Norina, she was socially minded, and she couldn't bear this sitting around there, nothing happening. No more social, nothing growing between us, as you know, except Baba was there, that was it. But on the human side, there was nothing growing between us. And she started off, go away.
Should I go in?
Well, there's no one else in the house. Would you like to just say, Kitty's not in?
Right. So, Norina, you said, couldn't stand that.
So she thought she could do it without, breaking. And she started to talk about something that had happened. And round at Nasik and so on, coming along, and we were all cheering up a bit. It was getting better. And she said, and then Tom said, have you ever heard silence? Have you ever heard horror? Well, we were all like that. And so, of course, Mary looked horrified. Mary was absolutely getting great. Well, Baba comforted her and petted her, and he put her head on his shoulder, so it was all right. And then he turned and was sweet to Norina.
So her face is just about dropped.
Dropped on the floor. I mean, Norina never did lose her social poise, but she did that time.
Yeah.
it was very funny. And then Baba said to me afterwards, I told them all that you were amusing and that you'd be great fun when you're here. He said, and you haven't said a word yet. And so I looked at him very firmly, and then he laughed. He knew why.
Yeah.
I did my best. But I couldn't, I mean, you can't be yourself if you've got such a
strict
such an inhibition. But that gradually went. In time, we were able to talk to Mary about other things.
And you tell me about the Mahabaleshwar incident with the horse.
Oh, that was lovely.
That was later.
That was, let me see. No, I think that was earlier. We went to... that was later. That was when we lived there. This was when we were at Nasik. And he hadn't joined us together. I mean, he was awfully careful. East and west in the beginning. Then Nasik, we got closer together and we became acquaintances and friends. And then he threw us all into a bag together. Shaked up. And still the inhibitions we brought up with hadn't gone. They still...
Individual natures are still...
Well, you see, if you're brought up to do so-and-so and so-and-so, you can do something else, but still that, it remains. I mean, a long time it takes to go. I mean, this quarreling about bathwater and all that kind of thing. Oh, the Westerners are dirty. You see, there was in the East, you remember, there was a certain resentment of the West. You can understand it. They walked in, taking their country. There's a resentment still. And that's all gone away. And without any war, without anything, we gave it back. I should have thought they might have accepted that. I thought that was a wonderful thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, they all still think Westerners are dirty.
Oh, they think Westerners are dirty. Well, I tell you where I got into trouble. I said I thought Easterners were dirty. I mean, I got annoyed. You see, I said, they take, I don't know if they still do it, they pick sand up off the ground, wash their cups, rinse them under the tap. Well, now, on the ground before that, people had come out, had their meals, gargle, gargle, spat on the floor. So very often they picked up, they didn't know where they were picking up the dirt. They were picking up the dirt, any dirt.
Right.
So I said that, and I wasn't popular for a bit. Yeah. Well, I was, you know, and got a little bit tired of it.
Yeah, I know. I get it still.
Yes. But the thing is that you have to accept other people's inhibitions. If they'd only accept yours, because if they don't accept yours, then trouble comes up. I mean, I remember with Adi, Baba's brother, we had a fight one night. That was in Nasik. Baba said he could drive us out, some of us, out to see the fireflies on the hillside. There was a place there where the whole hillside was covered with these fireflies, and it was a lovely thing. And I was sitting next to Adi, and whether Baba had told, I often suspect that Baba might have told Adi to say this to me, because I have no colour prejudice, none at all. It isn't there. And thank God for that. It's one good thing about me. Only thing, probably. But the point is, he turned to me and he said, "Do you despise me because I have a dark skin?" This was you driving on the road. And I turned on him. I said, "How dare you say that to me?" I said, "You have no right to make accusations of that kind. I can't see what difference it makes." And I went on a bit and I absolutely dropped him down.
Anyone else in the car with
you? Hmm? Yes. No one else joined in for a change. Well, it was a bit difficult. We were driving along the road and they really couldn't hear very well. I was sitting next to him.
Yeah.
And we really had that out.
Mm-hmm. And I saw him recently in England. He's anxious to read your book.
Oh. I didn't write that story.
No.
You see, there's some stories, I don't know whether they're backbiting or whether they're not.
I think that...
Anything that might stir up trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't suppose he'd mind at all. Because I often wondered if Baba told him to say that.
Possible.
Hmm?
Possible.
That's it. Yeah. Anything was possible.
Would you mind just repeating that story in Mahabaleshwar about the horse and how...
Oh. You see, this is a story of... which is a Hindu religion, the certain avatar, I think it was the 8th or the 9th, you'd have to find out, I've forgotten, was Dhu, but he would come riding on a white horse. And Baba didn't ride a white horse, and Mary had never seen him on a white horse. And Mary was a horsewoman, as you know, probably. She was apparently a very good horsewoman of the Indian type of riding. And she was upset a little bit that, oh, shucks, are they... Very English voice, I think. I didn't ask who he was. I suppose I should have done if I've been doing the job properly. Where we got to?
Mara had never seen Baba on a white horse.
So at this point, Baba decided to give her what she wanted. And he had a white horse brought onto the... It was an open space at the back of the house. And it was houses, little houses around where he had masts and things coming to see him, and I think some of the mandali slept there. Well, anyway, on this open space, this white horse was brought, and then the girls decorated it. You know how they do with flowers here and rugs, and I don't think there were any bells, but it was really very, the horse looked very elegant. And out comes Baba, full of life and joy, and rode, oh, shucks. Where have we got to?
Baba came out.
Yes, Baba came out, and he smiled at the horse and showed how beautiful it was. You know, Baba had this, sure, he was making such fuss about the horse. And then he got on, he rode it round and round the compound. Mary was happy.
It wasn't it was sort of a knocky kind of
wasn't horse. It wasn't a very gracious horse. It's a little bit knocky. But it was a horse. Yeah. It was a white horse, and that was what you wanted.
Baba did a saga.
Use your white dress. Use your white dress. You went in there.
Well, you know, during those early days when Baba first came.
Well, this was later. Yeah. We'd already got knocked down a bit.
Yeah. When those first trips to the West, though, did he mention Mara to you all before you met Mara? Had you heard of him?
Very little. In the first part of the time. Let me see.
Or did someone else tell you about that?
No.
Or the girls?
No, there wasn't anyone. The men were there, see, and they wouldn't talk about Mary. Yeah. None of the women came over. Mm-hmm. We didn't meet the women until we went to India. Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't something. I think the first we heard about Mary, first I remember hearing about her as a separate thing, was... at Portofino, and we walked out on these lovely grounds. This is the second time at Portofino, and we stayed in that lovely house. We walked out along the cliffs, and we sat down. Mm-hmm. And Norina, they're all rushing around claiming incarnations. I remember Norina would claim the Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. She never got it, though. And someone else... Minta said she'd like to be Radha. She said, I was Radha, wasn't I, Baba? And so on. I've forgotten who else.
Kim said it was Mary Magdalene.
Oh, she wasn't there. She'd already fell. That was in the early days. She claimed that straight away. But this went on, and I think it was Minta. Said she'd like to be this, the one in this incarnation. And then it was mentioned about, I think that was the first time. He didn't make it very clear.
Yeah.
But he made it quite clear there was someone in India, and that was Mara. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yes, but he'd had enough of people claiming incarnations and all these things. I mean, like doing things. Well, you imagine all that we learned, all that we heard came up.
Yeah.
And he brought it up that way partly, I think.
Well, did he once say to you, I think it was in December 32 now.
December 32?
During his visit to the West, when he was in England, where I think he had told you and Delia to comb his hair, and he said how lucky you are to be doing the work that Mara does for me.
No, he didn't say that. Yeah. And that wasn't in England. We did it in England, but where we really did it was in Nasik.
Yeah, well, that was much later.
Yes, much later. Well, yes, it's later. I think we did brush it occasionally, but not as a regular thing. In Nasik, we did it every day. And what did you say?
I thought that he might have said to you, at least this is something I've heard, that he had assigned you and Delia the job of combing his hair during his visit.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was that thing I did write about.
Yeah, that was in Nasik.
He was, while these others were telling all their dreams and everything, and Dina and I didn't have any. And so he said, well, then you have to comb my hair and brush my hair. And it was a wonderful job, I tell you. That was really lovely. And whether Mara heard about it or whether he just said, someone does my hair over at Nasik, I think it was all right.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes, and that really was lovely.
So then the first time you actually met Mara was in 33 when you came over. Could you just describe that meeting? That was in Condivli.
Right. But, you know, it wasn't made too clear to us about her position.
No. Just, you knew these were Baba's women. Sort of
yes. And we did realize that Mara was perhaps the most... But I personally didn't realize it. And I think the others didn't... It didn't come home to them quite.
Well, do you remember, though, that first meeting when she came out? Or it's not very clear.
No, because I tell you what, I remember what went on there, but I think we were not clear as to what we were doing. You remember this? We just arrived, and we had not really. He had given us as much preparation, I think, as he could for this affair. For the whole Indian situation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't there, not with it, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Norina and Minta were still being very beautiful women, and which they were in those days.
Well,
no, I can't say exactly. Then we went to this house where they were. I was saying, can they let us? Spent the afternoon there. I don't know. It's a bit of a muddle. A muddle, because we went to one room, we saw this, and we bought the pictures here, and he said this and that. And I wasn't one of these people making notes. All the things I do remember, they're things that really hit me. But I didn't, I think the Beckets, who were not there at that time, they made notes. Or there's certain people always making notes. And I really don't know if they got so much out of it as if they'd enjoyed the drama of it, myself.
Yeah. Well, after you traveled around India and then, Baba sent you all back, did you see the women again? That first time was the only time, really, at the beginning.
At the beginning. Yeah. After that, we were pushed out of India.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really until 36 when you all came back to India, 3 years later. So during those years.
Well, in those years, we had. I don't think, unless anyone corresponded with any of them.
I was about to ask them. Did the women?
I had no correspondence with anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think Delia did.
No.
What Norina may have done, I don't know. But who would she write to? Didn't know Mera, and I...
Right, so you didn't even, when you came to India that second time in 36, you wouldn't, buy a little present for Mera or something for the girls?
I don't remember ringing anything.
Doesn't ring a bell or anything?
We hadn't much, No. I tell you a present we bought for Mera, and that ought to have given us an eye-opener. That, I don't think I've written about that. That was in Venice. Baba said he wanted to buy a necklace for Mera. You know, they have lovely Italian beads and things. And I remember going with Baba and choosing one for her.
So that was before you had met her?
Before we met her. We did know of her.
Yeah.
You understand? But you know of someone vaguely. I mean, you say you know a man somewhere, and you talk about it, and he says he has a wife, and it isn't clear.
Yeah. Well, then, when you came to Nasik, then you began going to Maribor. Can you just talk a little bit about your impression of their life there, what you observed when you went there? Because that's the first time you really saw Baba in there.
Well, it was just...
You told me she was always on his...
Right side. Oh, she was always on one side. It was always the right side, I think, when we sat in the evenings. That was later on, because that was a position then of importance.
Right.
These positions of importance hadn't risen, I think, from the Western Canadian.
When Baba would be sitting talking, she was always on the chair next.
She was always next.
She was always holding him or kissing him.
Well, she didn't kiss him. No, she didn't carry on quite as badly.
Well,
Japan. Yes, no, it wasn't. It wasn't too much of that. I must say, she was there. And she was Mera. That was that. She had a certain amount of dignity. No, I don't think she did that altogether.
Well, did you sort of feel about it? She didn't care about anybody else in the room. It's just Mera. She was...
Socially, she was quite willing to accept it.
Mm.
That's
right.
A silly way to put it. But, and she wanted to, but she wanted to please us because of Baba. But it wasn't the same as say I want to please you because we're two human beings. It isn't that kind of thing.
It's sort of in the back of her mind all the time.
In the back of her mind. She was that, and she didn't want any of us to upset that relationship. Mm-hmm. I should say, that was about what it was. But otherwise, she was charming.
Yeah. I mean, people now, when they come to me, they feel like She's like a queen, you know, she's very, like, right off.
Well, she is. Yeah. I mean, she was.
She has that air of it.
Yes. No, no. That wasn't there, really, I don't think.
No, I meant now when she received
fever. Oh, that. Yeah. No. She left it to Baba. She was really very.
Yeah. Oh, she. I mean, she doesn't.
There was nothing pushing her or. I'm there and pushed to Baba's side. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. No, there was nothing that ever made us dislike her or think she was showing off or anything.
So when you would visit Maribor during those early times, you had your meals with the girls and Baba? They had already eaten?
No, we had a meal there. Just, you know, they made curry and rice and things for us.
You bet one night there also, I think.
Yes, we did. We slept on the floor. We had mattresses or some of us did.
And Mara would always sort of be going and getting bottled water, taking care of his.
She looked after his needs, personal needs. And I don't remember whether she cooked his food that day we were over there. I wouldn't remember that. But very often she cooked his food personally.
And they would wear saris, plain, no dress.
Well, you see, they wore saris. I suppose they wore their best clothes. Saris they didn't always wear about the place. They wore a long skirt and a blouse. I mean, saris are a nuisance, if you ask me. They fall off and you don't want them to, and they trip you up when you're unexpected. But if they were going out anywhere, always wore saris. Or if it was a very important occasion, a birthday party for Baba or something, then they wore saris.
And then when you left India and you must have said goodbye to the girls and your family, and then after that was canned, wasn't it? You left India and then met them in Cannes.
Met them in Cannes, yes. Wait a minute, we went back and then we went to live in Ealing, all of us together. Except Kitty, who had a home in London, she said that she couldn't come because her father or something. Because she didn't want to, that's quite bad. And there's Norina and Elizabeth and Delia and me and this girl, Vivienne. And they got Vivienne's mother to come and do the housekeeping. She was a bit of a nuisance. All she did was to admire Vivienne. And she was a real mother, one of that type. Not quite a nice woman, but a bit of a nuisance. And we fought it out between us in this house in Ealing. Well, now, Ealing is not a suburb that a woman like Norina would want to live in. It was real suburban, not a large house, and one of a row. And Norina, I think, just felt there wasn't a place for a Machiavelli. And she didn't like it at all.
It wasn't very long, though. A month or two.
Something like that. Not very long. But that we were by ourselves and we fought out a lot.
And then when you saw Mara in Cannes, how was that in another country?
I didn't see much of her. You see, they lived in a separate house. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't there all the time. You see, I'd already, under Baba's orders,
you didn't stay in the house.
I stayed in the house down the hill. Baba only had the girls at the top. And he did not have the... He did not want the local maids to do the house because he thought there'd be too much chit-chat at this strange house full of women. And he asked for people in Europe who had followed him if they had daughters or something. And that's where Irene first turned up. Mm-hmm. And she was, because being Swiss, was very good at the housework. And then she asked Baba if she could go to India with him. I think he meant her to anyway. He needed someone from Switzerland. There's a link there during the war. And she was very courageous. She gave up the man she was going to marry, you know that.
Yeah, but I knew she was very young.
Yes, but she, you know, she was young enough to be, she was old enough to be engaged to be married. She was younger than we were. She was about 22. She was quite old enough to have a fiance, whatever you call it.
Uh-huh. And so
she gave him up.
When you would go there, though, during the time that you stayed there, you did often play games with him?
Yes, not very much. You see, I wasn't there very long because I came over for time. But so having had to reopen my school, you know, Baba having told me to get it back, I had to be there. Mm-hmm. I couldn't buy the school back and then abandon it again. Mm-hmm. So I came over for a little while in the summer. But I wasn't there very long.
Didn't see much of it then.
Didn't see much of it then.
So then next time it was probably when you came to Bangalore, 39.
Hmm?
When you came to Bangalore, then that's when you really started living with them.
When we had started in Nasik. You see?
You didn't live there with them.
Yes.
You saw them.
In
Bangalore, you actually began living with them.
That wasn't until the war.
Right. That's the next time after Cannes.
Yes, after Cannes. Wait a minute. After Cannes. Did anything happen that we went anywhere?
Well, you went back to England and then...
I went back to England. Most people went back then. Yes, I think my mind's getting confused. The next trip was when we went to India.
Mm-hmm. Because there you actually stayed at the links with the other women and all together.
That was what Bob had been working up to. We were there. And we were shut up together on the hill at Maribad, unless we were touring with the bus.
Yeah.
But that was where we were. And Baba would be there, or he wouldn't be there. He'd go away from us. Wasn't it? We had Baba all the time. We left to work a lot of things out. But always, no one ever upset Mary if they could help. Mm-hmm. I think they all loved Baba more than enough of that.
Right. That was sort of, many of them remember now that sort of while Baba wasn't there, their meditation that they had to, you know, of course they all had orders and things to do when he wasn't there.
Oh yes, we had orders.
To keep Mary happy, and so.
Yes, but I think actually the word obey was never given about Mary.
No.
She was one of us, but she was a special one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were never to upset her,
never
make her unhappy. And she was, I must say, she was very, she did give no orders. She did not give orders. The only time when she gave orders was when Baba went away to me personally. Baba went away after a must in Lahore.
Mm-hmm.
In his house in Lahore. And he sent for me and he said, "Will you do something for me?" Well, usually it was an order and I was rather surprised. And he was very gentle with me. And so I said, "Of course, Baba." I mean, there was no question, "Will you do something for me?" And he said, "While I'm away, will you do exactly what Mary says, or she gives you an order?" And I said, "Yes, Baba." So you see, it wasn't a usual thing that we were under Mary.
Yeah.
And he asked me to do that. Well, Mary gave me no orders until this dog came along, the second dog, the brown dog, and she asked me if I'd bathe it. Well, it was an awful-looking thing, and I wasn't particularly interested. Mary said, "You bathe the dog." So I bathed the dog. And he was the dog, of course, that was mad first and then bit the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only time I think I had a direct order to obey Mary.
Then, of course, you traveled so many places, Ranchi, Ceylon, Jaipur, Quetta, Panchgani, Karwar, Rishikesh, Dehradun. It was over a period of a year, a year and a half or something, traveling with him, living with him.
Well, till we got to Ashmere, we were all together, and I forget which year that was. 39 was the war. I think it was about 41. And then from Ashmere we went. That's where Noreen and company left. Could he? She may come back this year. She may not.
Well, in Dehradun was where Baba told you to train the girls for combat. And
that was really the servants, and I had to train them. Can you believe it? I mean, when I went into the room and saw Baba sitting there looking rather solemn, and Donkin looking over solemn, he overacted very often. So I thought, there's something wrong. The donkey wouldn't be sitting like this with all this horror on around him. What's it all about? And then he said, asked me what I knew to protect myself. Well, I knew the usual things, you know, where to hit people and how to trip them up and a few things like that. I said, yes, I knew a few things. And then he said, well, you have to just make a plan or do something for if the Japanese, you see, that's how far we got along with the war. The Japanese were being troublesome. Mm-hmm. He said, if the Japanese cross northern India, they'll come here. And he said, you have to see there's some form of protection from there. Well, I mean, of course, the whole thing was, it was a joke. Because, I mean, how could anyone protect anyone from soldiers? Yeah. But anyway, so I had to get these poor maids out every afternoon.
And now they were supposed to be on the second floor?
No, that was afterwards. I worked that plan out. Yeah. He then said, first of all, I had to teach them to use these awful lathis. Where you could hit people. I mean, things where you really, they'd never probably come round again. And these things I knew, because I'd done a bit of anatomy too. So I trained them and told them how to trip people up. And I taught them all the tricks and how to do the fireman's lift if they had to carry anyone. A lot of things that I dragged up out of my memory of what I'd learned in life. But Mara, then Baba said, you have to make a plan so that Mara is safe, so that you all defend her. Which, couldn't have worked. But the point was that if we saw the Japanese coming down the road, Baba, he has such a sense of humor. I did it with humor because I really felt there was nothing else to do, but I did it, and I did it fully out.
Right.
And if the Japanese were supposed to come down the road, first of all, we'd take Mara up to the roof. Mara was to go on the roof. Then down the stairs, which is a very narrow staircase leading down, we would have one person on each side of the stairs with these lattices.
How did she get on the roof?
There were steps.
It's like a terrace or something.
It was a flat roof.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Lots of houses had flat roofs. And then a staircase running up to it, through a passageway, this one had. And down this staircase, on the passageway, there were people lined up on either side with these lattices, supposed to hit the Japanese who would never fire their guns, of course. But anyway, that was the best I could do. And they would hit them on the head as they came up, and those were Mara's defenders. Then there were some more downstairs, were they?
Interruption number two.
And where are we?
People were lined up down the stairs.
Yes. And then some more were down at the bottom. Then there were not enough of these lathis to go round. So I said, I couldn't think what else to use. And I said, now the others will have pepper pots of pepper. And that no soldier could stand if he got pepper in his eyes, which is true. It was the only other thing I could think of. Well, we rehearsed all this nonsense.
You actually went up on the roof and knew everything.
We rehearsed it,
yeah.
I don't remember. I don't think the girls did much rehearsal.
Yeah.
I think we took Mara up, and I'm not sure. And the others and the maids were running about, and how to trip people up if they were running. You threw the lassie between their legs. And the biggest nonsense. And then all of a sudden, Baba stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, it might have been one of those funny preparations that he used to do, because immediately after that, the story was that Baba worked things out in the ashram.
Mm-hmm.
In that neighborhood we were. The British were attacked in the post offices, in some other places and so on, with people armed with lathis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can take it as you like, whether Bob was working there or whether he wasn't.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, there were several things that worked out like that. I don't make a fuss about them because I'm not very, very crazy about psychic things or things like that.
Yeah.
But some things did happen,
yeah.
Like the thing that happened to the war with me.
And the cat also, put the cat out.
The cat out at that time. And that other thing when he made me read to him and he was lying under a sheet.
I don't know.
Well, I think I wrote it down. I wrote it down very clearly. But at Secunderabad, this place where Mary learned to swim and so on, when the last week, we didn't know really very clearly what was going on with the war. But anyway, so it turned out afterwards, the last week of the war, we got no newspapers. We weren't allowed to see the papers that week. They mangled it. And Baba said he was going to have a week's fast and that Mara might do one day. Well, then, at midday, the hottest time of the day, he sent for me. And he was alone, to my surprise. He was never alone. And he said, fetch a book and read to me. So I trotted off and got an Agatha Christie with short stories in. I thought that would be better, and so we could probably get through the story. Well, the point is, he told me where to sit in the room. It was so hot. I can't tell you what the temperature was. It was a terrible place. This was Kandabad. And he got onto his bed and covered himself with a sheet like a corpse, and signaling for me to read. So I sat there in the heat reading from Agatha Christie. It was a story I remember quite well. It was called Blue Geranium. Blue Geranium. I mean, so I sat there reading until my head began to... I'm not a person who faints. But my head went round and round and round. I thought, well, I'm going to faint soon, but I went on. And no sign from this corpse under the sheet. All of a sudden, up he jumped. Sheet, everything, said, go away. And he did that three times. Three times during that week. The girls weren't there. They'd gone to their afternoon nap. No one was there. There wasn't a soul about the place. Everybody was having the afternoon nap. Then, money. I was very thankful for this dog because I was allowed to take this dog out for a walk. That meant I was a human being again. I was walking outside, even if it was a dog. And I used to take this dog for a walk every day. And one day I went out and I saw a house. They were rather well-to-do people around with the houses there. They were separate. And it was a very sandy district. It wasn't organized at all. It was like a growing suburb. And I saw a house covered with flags. And trimmed and hanging all over the place. So I thought, well, what's that? So I hadn't been told not to go and look at houses. So I went over with the dog and had a look at the house. And it was Lieutenant Colonel Tiddlypush. And I thought, well, the only thing is the war's over, and it was. And he hadn't told us.
Just that day, or it had been over for a little while?
Well, I suppose a day or so. I don't know. We never discovered that, but he's had time to put his flags up.
Yeah.
He'd known about it. And so that was the other strange thing that happened with regard to the war.
So that was right after you did the reading? Or?
Exactly, yeah. Same week. It's all happened in the same week.
There's a lot of, you know, when I was working on the biography, I finished that section, there's a lot of coincidences where Baba will contact these very important musts. And, you know, soon after that, there's major shifts in the war where bombings,
yes,
and things like that, where, you know, if you really look at the dates in the Wayfarers, he has the dates that it was contacted, and you look at a history of World War II, there's a lot of things you can draw conclusions from.
Well, you see, it was a very strange thing that he insisted on someone crossing the sea after war broke out. I could have gone to India quite easily before.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, you don't come till after war breaks out, if war breaks out, making it so difficult to get out of the country.
Yeah.
You see, I think that was the same thing. He had to have a link like that.
Someone from England coming.
Coming to India. And I had that terrible journey. And that was this little boy who was here, what's his name? His father. I never saw that boy again.
No.
Once we got to India, I never saw him again.
Maybe we have any contact with Baba to speak of.
Nope. Yeah. Just was this, he was this useful person. Because I could not have got out of the country otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, I pretended, I think they thought he was a Maharaja son, the way I carried on about him, and he had to be there. And luckily, the man I was arguing with was rather... he knew his job thoroughly, but he was stupid. You can know your job and still be stupid.
Bureaucrat.
Heavy. And he was saying, yes, we can't send India, can we? No. And by the time we worked it all out, and we were almost singing Rule Britannia, but not quite. Rule Britannia. And he gave me a pass.
Yeah.
But for that boy, I would never have got out of the country. That I know. Unless I would work another miracle. But you see, that was another strange thing. And then there was that other thing, that connection with Australia. I told you about that. I think I wrote it rather badly because I don't know, and it wasn't particularly interesting, but after I got to India, is this, you don't want this information?
It's okay.
No. Oh, because I won't tell you if it's...
I think I did read that in the book.
Oh, well, that was a strange connection with Australia. Immediately the war broke out, immediately after this correspondence. And I never got there, of course.
Yeah. It was the same thing with sort of Delia in Panama. Baba had said he was coming and she would go there, and everybody never did there.
No, same thing.
When you all returned to Maribor, though, was when Baba divided you into groups. And you were with Kitty and Rana, I think, and you were living there. This was after traveling, before the war ended in 42, after traveling on the Blue Bus tours, you came back to Maribor, and Baba divided you in different little groups, and I think you were put with Kitty and Rana, and all the women were divided into separate little units. Do you remember that?
Well, that did happen. I didn't realize it had happened at that time, because I left them from Dehradun up north when Baba sent me back to England.
Well, that was much later.
I'm
sort of in 42 when you came back. That was before you went to Mahabaleshwar where Baba's mother died.
Wait a minute. It was in Mahabaleshwar that we had, we were divided.
Right.
And we had to say something awful to each other every day, three times, and I can't remember what it was. I lost it, and the notebook I had that I had got the words in, I lost. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell that story. But I had to say to Rana every time something like, this will happen, and that will happen, and this will happen, and that will happen. And then I had to say to her three times, she had to say it to me three times. And I had to do it with Kitty three times, and Kitty had to do it with me three times. And by the time we finished with those few weeks, we hated each other.
Yes.
We absolutely hated the sight of the other one coming up. I wish I could remember what those words were.
I'll ask Rana.
It doesn't matter.
That
was up there. I don't remember, perhaps it went out of my mind anywhere else. That was where this thing happened.
Ma blessed.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Baba's mother died during your stay there.
I think it was there.
And then you all went up to Lahore for a time.
We went up to Lahore after a hot summer in Maribor.
And at that time, the women were divided into two groups, and you were with Maramani, Meru, Kitty, and Walu in Lahore. And all the other women were in another group.
Now I see what you mean. That was a very sad time for all the other people. Kitty, Rana, and I were with the girls in one house with Baba. All the others were sent to another house across the road.
Mm.
And they didn't see Baba. They were not to see Baba for 2 months.
It was Lahore, right?
It was Lahore.
And it was very hot up there.
I don't think it was the hottest place we went to. I think Rishikesh was.
What did you say Lahore? This was the place where you were reading to Baba? Or that was the one?
Reading in Mera?
No, to Baba, who was under the sheet.
This was long after the war we went to Lahore. About a year.
It was before. It was July 43.
But there was another time we went to that. No, we went to Dehradun. Oh, Lahore. Sorry, I'm in the up. 43, yes, that was Lahore.
Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't anything to do with that.
Well, the ones where you were with Bob in that little house and the others didn't see, that was Lahore, right?
That was Lahore.
So they didn't see Baba, and you got to see a lot of Baba, didn't you?
We saw Baba. Baba was away after Mass a bit. No, that was a strange one. That was when the whole lot went. Sometimes I went away with Baba with only the girls.
Right.
You see, after the dog bit me, I was so thankful that dog bit me. It did really save me a lot.
Yeah.
I went away with Baba and the girls. I wasn't left behind in the ashram to fight with the others, you know. It was so dull. Can you imagine? Nothing to do. Nothing to do. But be hot and argue with each other. Baba just went. The housekeepers were all right. I had the dogs and animals to look after once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, there was nothing to do.
Yes.
Barbara disappeared.
What about then when you came down and stayed at Simplegown That did you notice that any change in the routine, sort of, like now is a little bit, you know, sort of more home-like?
You mean in during war? Well, yes, I stayed with them. That was a continuum. I went from Secunderabad, and then we went there. We went back to Mehrabad first, I think. And then we went down to their place, Mehrabad. And I was there with them, with the girls and Barbara again. Was where the cat happened.
Yeah. Did Mara like it there?
Yes, I think so.
She was comfortable.
I think she was very happy there. And she wanted to make the garden beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no flowers growing much. I mean, it was during the war, and I don't think you'd get any flowers or no one. We were very hard up at the end of the war, during the war. And so we used to go out on the hills, and Baba came with us sometimes with little wheelbarrows and collect stones, transparent stones,